Isaac, count it down. Start from 7.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to 8-Bit Radio, episode 2. Yes, let's go with 2. I am Adam, and joining me, as always, is Isaac. And we have 2 new panelists today. One is Andrew. He is, are you a Virgo by chance?
No, Sagittarius, actually.
He's a Sagittarius. He's Canadian, and he lives in Vancouver. And we have the other Andrew, which we will only refer to as Fergie for the sake of not mixing people up. He's a Scotsman who lives in Ireland. Say hello.
Yeah, freedom!
All right.
Not as good as Mel Gibson, but hey, I'm taller than him.
That's always a plus.
Always.
I wish really I matters. Was tall.
Can you berate women as good as him, though, is the question.
Oh.
That's a challenge. But I'm willing to give it a go, like, if you find something.
I didn't know this was a celebrity news podcast.
All right. Well, let's not waste any time, and we can jump right into our first topic. Let's start with split screening. Yes, let's do that. So, same couch games. For those who are too young to remember the good old days of the 90s, sitting on the couch and staying up into the wee hours of the morning playing GoldenEye with your best friends on the weekend. That is split-screen gaming, before the internet impeded on everything that is gaming. So, what do you guys think? Do you think there should be more of it? And I'm not just speaking in a first-person sort of sense, but rather just, do you think that there should be more split-screen gaming?
Yeah, totally. Like, I mean, come on. Who didn't enjoy sitting down with all their mates and just beating them so badly that you could point and go, I am the best. These guys all suck. That's just brilliant. Although not so good when you get beaten yourself, but, you know.
Did you have to face a lot of that?
No. I was a GoldenEye king. Every corner, every trap, every gun, I knew where it was. Brilliant.
Probably just one of those cheaters throwing his hat at people. Yeah. Golden-gunning everything.
No, I just ran through the walls.
Oh, even better.
Not that bad, then. Not that bad.
I was more of a proximity mine fan myself, but even more so than GoldenEye, I Perfect Dark, I think I might have even spent more hours just with 3 other people, just marathon sessions. But I think that the N64 period just was great for same couch multiplayer. I mean, besides Perfect Dark and GoldenEye, you also had the creation of the Mario Party series, which I think was almost... It was one of those first games that, like, got people that didn't really play video games to play with you. So you could get, like, your girlfriend or whatever to, you know, hey, pick up a controller and you know, join in the party, join in the Mario Party. And I don't know, it's just something that there's just more of a connection when you're on the same couch in the same room as opposed to being online. You know, I find it's more personable. You have bigger laughs because, you know, the person's right there next to you. And, I mean, also you can go and take snack breaks and, you know, beer breaks or whatever also, which you can't really do if you're in matchmaking, waiting to hop in online in Halo.
Now, I guess the point that, speaking of Mario Party, obviously the Wii is one of those systems that was kind of developed to try and incorporate that aspect of gaming, trying to get, you know, people up, and it's fun for the family, it's good to have parties with, and one of the things when you're talking about the Wii, a lot of people complain that it's gimmicky, the games are just, you know, a lot of people complain that it's just a gimmick. Now, by incorporating more and more same coach multiplayer, are we then kind of pushing the gimmick a little further, even if it's not on the Wii?
No. I think you have to look at it, like, Nintendo have always been really good at doing the family entertainment, and I think they've got better at it over the years, and I think the Wii is just, like, really just a perfect example of how it just brings people together. And, like, my girlfriend, for example, can't play computer games. She hates them. But, like, she beats me at the Wii every time, and she loves it. And it's people like that that Nintendo have got that, you know, Xbox and PlayStation will never attract. You know, it's fair enough me playing, you know, a couch game with my mates, you know, we play Pro Evo or FIFA or something like that, you know, with the guys. But to bring in people who are just totally disinterested in any sports or any games like that, that's what Nintendo are good at. And they've just got better and better over the past decade.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, if, like, this holiday weekend here in Canada, it's Thanksgiving. At some point in time, I'm going to be playing Wii with my mom. And if you were to tell me before 2006 that I would be, you know, Thanksgiving, drinking wine, playing Wii with my mom, I would not believe you. But, yeah, that's what the Wii's done.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of the same experiences as Andrew, where, I mean, how it used to be is, like, holidays, me, my siblings, maybe some cousins, we'd be playing video games while the adults were doing adult-like things. And now a lot of what we actually see at our, like, family get-togethers is, hey, you got a Wii? Let's all play Wii bowling and stuff, where all the adults are, like, playing video games, and it's just crazy.
Yeah. Seeing my mom doing the hula hoop game in the what one is it?
We fit. Yeah, my mom does that too.
That's worth every penny.
Well, it's great, because I mean, Wii Sports kind of it's like a gateway drug. I think like a lot of people went out and bought a Wii. I mean, they didn't go and say, "Hey, I want a Wii." They say, "Hey, I want that tennis game. Or I want that bowling game," and they buy the system and you get the Wii Sports and you play that Wii Sports and you get a taste for it. And I think then it kind of opens up other doors for you. Like I know. Boom Blocks is an amazing Wii multiplayer game, and again, I've got my mom playing this game that otherwise she would have touched. And I mean, Mario Kart is also doing that. So I mean, it's broadening the audience, and I mean, I welcome it. I don't oppose it as much as a lot of people do.
I think what's going to need to happen now is that you're going to have to try and bring something new to, same screen, multiplayer action. You're going to have to step it up kind of, you do the same thing over and over and over and over again. I mean, let's face it, you get, Wii Sports, for example, and you play it and it's fun as hell. But at one point or another, you're just kind of like, it's just not doing it anymore. And obviously the Wii kind of lacks the ability to update and, get downloadable content and things like that to kind of try and keep it fresh. But you look at games like Rock Band. Rock Band and Guitar Hero, both two games that you can incorporate, several instruments so you can have several people playing and still have that. It's kind of obviously not the same or conventional feel as, say, Mario Kart or GoldenEye or Perfect Dark, but it's still something fresh, and I think like that's one of the reasons why Rock Band is such a success. You can sit down with a group of friends. You can sit down with a family. Everybody loves to sing, whether they're good or bad at it. It's human nature to try and belch out something that's words. I just think that maybe in order for the genre to progress, they're going to have to try and up their game.
See, the funny thing is, like, we're talking away here, and not one of us has said, "Oh, isn't Xbox 360 great for split screen? Isn't PS3 great for split screen? Isn't PC or anything like that great for?" It's all about Nintendo. And I totally agree, you know, from your point of view, like, if you're wanting to be, say, you know, a hardcore gamer who wants something that's a bit more sort of replayable and all that kind of stuff, yeah, Nintendo don't have that as much, I don't think. But then, you know, they're really, really good at bringing the fun, competitive side out in everybody, you know, and anybody, literally anybody. It can be your granny or granddad. And I really hope they don't lose that, you know. But at the same time, it's nice for them to bring out those, you know, like Zelda games and the Mario Galaxy games, you know, things that I played as a kid that really got me into gaming, you know. And but I don't know, I really hope they're careful about the balance of trying to please everybody, in the sense of hardcore gamers and non-gamers. I think they've got a market there in non-gamers that they should really just stick with, because people love it. And, you know, it's, as everyone says, it's probably one of the consoles that you'll see in more homes and be more surprised about seeing in other homes than any other console.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, Nintendo, I just hope that they don't get too cocky. I hope that they don't get lackluster and they keep it up. In terms of like hardcore games for the Wii, I think that after this E3, there was five or so single player titles that were announced that really got me excited just to play Wii by myself. You know, so yeah, I just hope they don't get cocky, they don't get full of themselves, and they keep innovating. And in terms of Xbox, one thing that I want to say is, yeah, Wii's great for the same couch multiplayer, but I love playing Xbox games co-op with somebody else split screen. I love doing that. I play countless games with my girlfriends, my roomie. I don't know. I'd just rather do that playing through Halo, for example. I'd rather do that with somebody on the same couch as opposed to playing online. And I just hope that feature doesn't get cut, you know, as the internet speeds get faster and more people get online. I don't want developers to stop having the option to play through single player experiences with a buddy via co-op.
Yeah, co-op's a very good addition to games, I have to agree. I remember when I was younger, and the 360, actually it was, yeah, the 360 just came out and Gears of War 1 was released. And I remember playing it with my cousin at his house, and we were going through it's an experience. It's like you're playing games like that, and if you're playing it by yourself, like, you're scared, or, you know, you're anticipating something and you're on the edge of your seat, and to experience that with somebody else is, you know, you feel connected, and it's something that you can move forward with, and it makes the whole experience more exciting. It's kind of like going to watch a movie. Like, you can watch a movie at home and it's good, but to go out on opening night to see a movie with all those people who are, you know, sitting there anticipating, the having the same expectations as you do, it builds an atmosphere, and that's kind of what co-op gaming does.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, like, the Gears of War, I played, Gears of War 1 co-op with, like, four different people. Each one was, like, a different experience, and, you know, when somebody saves you, or, you know, they chainsaw this guy that's coming up on you, you know, you can give that person a pat on the back after they do that to really, you know, show your gratitude. Whereas you can't do that online. You can't do that with your Xbox Live headset.
You can literally give them a pat on the back.
You can literally touch their back with your hand. Yeah.
Beat them across the face when they
hit you. Yeah, if they screw you over, you can give them a slap.
All right. You see, I've had a different experience though with that. You know, I've played online co-op. It's quite rare for me to play co-op in the same room as someone, because I hate the fact that my screen is smaller and I can see their screen as well, and it just, I don't know, that irritates me. I like the idea of playing online, but I definitely agree with you. The idea of someone sitting in the same room is appealing, but I still love that idea that I can play with my mate who's, you know, 2 hours drive away or something like that, you know, and we can still play together.
Yeah. Isaac, final thoughts?
Split screen gaming is good. Nothing's going to ever beat that experience of taunting your friends.
Fair enough. All right, let's move along to our next topic. Let's jump to cheating. There's been some big headlines in the news as of late in terms of cheating. I got two stories here for you. One involves Blizzard. They banned 5,000 users who they believe were in violation of the Battle.net terms of use for cheating and or using hacked programs while playing. Obviously, this in turn can screw around with the stable servers that they have established and, of course, ruin the gaming experience overall for everybody else. So they laid the ban hammer down. And then the other story here is Bungie. They banned 15,000 players who were cheating by using a forced network disconnect as an opportune time to be able to reset chain challenges and complete them multiple times per day, earning credits in Halo Reach. And this, of course, isn't hacking or hacking the game, but rather maybe just something, a glitch that was inserted into the game. Obviously, those are easy exploited when they are presented. So Blizzard put the ban hammer down on them as well. Let's face it, when you incorporate multiplayer in any sort of fashion, there's always the risk of getting cheaters and glitchers and hackers and all of those. And even to jump back to, back in the day, we didn't have multiplayer, but we had GameShark. Obviously, cheat codes are a little different. But, I mean, in the end, it's virtually cheating has kind of been there through it all. And what do you guys think? Do you think that that the developers kind of pulled the right strings in banning these guys?
Oh, yes.
Definitely.
Thank goodness.
For sure.
I mean,
one way to look at this is, I mean, Adam, me and you, we play StarCraft 2v2 online a pretty good amount. I mean, if we were playing against a team that was hacking and they could just do the craziest stuff with their units and stuff, that would eliminate all the fun of the game.
Yeah.
Another Blizzard game. I play WoW. I've been playing WoW now for a few years, but I've kind of gone off it recently because I'm waiting. But they did the same in terms of the Bungie story Adam was talking about there, that a guild, a really popular guild, managed to kill the Lich King. They were the first people to do it. Until Blizzard realized that they had exploited a glitch in one of the stages in the Lich King fight. And they were like, well, look, you can't do that because that defeats the purpose, you know, of killing the Lich King and the whole story behind it. So we're gonna wipe that, and you're going to have to try and do it again. And the realm first will go back, and you know that first will go back, and you'll have to try and get it again, you know. And unfortunately, the guys were like really, really pissed off about this, and they didn't get the realm first or anything. You know, another guild got it, you know, pretty much like 2 days after. But you know, if you have to cut that people off like that, that just makes, because if you allow that to happen, then you're saying that you don't care about the majority. And let's be honest, it's the majority of people don't cheat. You know, you're saying to them that, well, we're going to allow cheaters to rule the roost, and we don't really care about you guys who all bought our game and who all still maybe pay for our game or whatever. And yeah, I totally big up to the boys who decided to ban these guys, because that's
I think it's great that they did that. I mean, video gaming as a hobby, as you know, something that we do. I mean, it's not cheap. It's to be like a video gamer is an expensive hobby. And we are all paying way too much money to have an otherwise excellent experience ruined by a couple of douchebags that have nothing better to do than ruin the experience for other people.
Yeah, I have to agree 100%. Isaac can agree with me on this. But like, me and him play Call of Duty on the Wii, of course, and obviously, that version of Call of Duty is very, very vulnerable when it comes to hackers and glitchers. And it's something that it just ruins the experience. And anybody who's ever played The Conduit, you know what that is like. It's unfortunate. There's a lot of high expectations for the Conduit, and sure enough, it was just a game that was just filled with hackers, and it's disappointing to see. It's like sitting around and playing poker with a bunch of friends, and then to find out that one of them had a deck under the table filled with aces. It just takes this thing that you're, like you said, investing money in, and you're pretty much ripping it to shreds in front of your face.
Yeah, well, at least when you play poker, you can slap the person across the face and give them a beat, and you can't do that in the game. You're left there really frustrated that these guys have got away with something, and you lose the game. It absolutely offends, and it probably puts you off playing the game, and that's totally against the point of them making the game for you to play, it's just...
Well, that's what Bungie and Blizzard has done to these people. They've gotten up and slapped them across the face by banning them.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that, Bungie didn't ban their accounts. They just simply
reset them.
Probably, they reset the accounts. They got rid of all the credits, everything they've earned. Now, do you think that's? I mean, unless you're fixing the overall glitch. I mean, honestly, it's like giving them a slap on the wrist. Like, when you're five and your mom tells you not to to swear. Or, no, not to swear. Let's say you eat a cookie before dinner. Well, if you're putting cookies out on the counter... What?
That'd be a bad five-year-old swearing.
I told you, it's not my fault. But if your mom keeps putting cookies out right before you're about to eat dinner and just leaves them on the counter, obviously the problem is not the child. It's the fact that a mother is still putting the cookies out. And here, Blizzard, sorry, is putting out the cookies, which is Halo, and not taking
the glitch away. You were right the first time.
Yeah.
Was I?
Yeah, Bungie makes Halo.
Yeah.
Not to make it look stupid.
Oh God, what are you doing?
It's one thing like to hack in and to do that. I mean that's awful. But then it's another thing if it's a glitch that people are exploiting. If that's the case, then I think it is Bungie's job to patch that glitch. Like similar thing happened last year when Modern Warfare 2 launched. There's the Jericho glitch that people were exploiting. And so, I believe that a number of people were punished for that. And then Infinity Ward, they then went and patched it up. So I think that's what they have to do. Maybe a slap on the wrist for now, for this type of, this crime that they've committed. But, in turn, I think there should be different penalties for different, cheats and exploitations. Like if you're caught, if they find you like hacking into the system, that sounds like Xbox Live ban worthy to me.
Yeah. I mean, going back to the point you've made there, Andrew, about, the mother putting the cookie out and it's her fault because she's putting the cookie out. You're then basically saying though, that's the developer's fault, because there's a glitch there. But, let's take in consideration, they've developed this game, like it's really difficult to catch every single bug in something like that. As a graduate in IT myself, I've programmed, and sometimes the bug is so small and it's just one thing you've missed out, and you'll not see it until you literally go line by line. These guys have hundreds of thousands of lines of code to try and find this one bug, that just causes someone to be able to jump through a wall or hide behind a wall that they shouldn't be able to hide behind or whatever, and I totally think though that by doing what they're doing, by saying, look guys, that wasn't supposed to be there, we're going to wipe your slate clean and you're going to have to do it again, because let's be honest, people still have a choice whether to use that glitch or not.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest, let's put this back in the players' hands. If the players want to play a fair game, then don't use the glitch. It's that simple, just don't do it. And then you create a fair game for everyone. But unfortunately, the majority of people in any competition, you see it in sports and stuff with drugs being used and things, everyone's looking for that edge to be the best. And I definitely agree with the idea of, right, fair enough. You want to cheat, then we're going to wipe your account and you're going to start again.
and we'll keep doing that until you learn otherwise, you know. But if it's more serious, like Andrew just said, you know, about like hacking the system, totally get them banned off. I don't want them ruining my experience, you know, on Xbox Live with any game, never mind one particular game.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
An interesting thing to point out is, I mean, so Bungie's banning 15,000 people. That's a lot of people. Well, not banning, sorry, resetting. And Blizzard's 5,000. So these two companies, these are arguably two of the biggest games of this year. Mm-hmm. There are millions of users on there. So, I mean, 15,000 is nothing. You know, it's just crumbs compared to the amount of people playing. So they can afford to, you know, to take this initiative and ban this amount of people. But what about, like, what if it is a smaller game? Like, as you said, The Conduit, you know, which there aren't a million copies of The Conduit out there. But, and, you know, there's rampant cheating is what you were talking about. Can they afford to ban people? Like, do you think it's only, like, is it only certain companies that can really afford to dedicate the resources into looking into this type of thing?
In the case of The Conduit, I think yes, because that is literally a game that was destroyed by cheaters and hackers. Like, it became unpopular so fast because of that. Because of glitches, cheating, hacking. Nobody wanted to play it.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, just in this case, you're looking at a game that was highly anticipated, and a lot of that was sort of destroyed when the game started to become unfair and then, of course, unpopular.
Well, what I was going to say is it's a double-edged sword. You have developers, and obviously developers are aware that these things can happen. And we can't obviously put all the blame onto them when these types of mistakes happen. As Fergie was saying, it's just, you know, sometimes it's something so tiny it's overlooked, and so on and so forth. So it's there. But the other side of this is that the players, let's face it, they don't have to try and exploit and try and find these glitches that exist. I mean, there's nothing wrong with going into a private match and trying to find new locations to hide or, interesting little things that you can do to try to improve your game. That's fine. But to go in there and to try to invoke some sort of glitch and then you exploit it, you put it on the internet, you tell the world this is what you do. You know, there's a guy who got banned off of Nintendo, laid down the law and pretty much banned him from using wireless Nintendo Wi-Fi connection on his Wii because he, I think it was World at War, if I remember correctly. And he, if it wasn't World at War, then it was The Conduit, but he pretty much hacked the game, like literally was in the database and could change and manipulate everything. And he had a code that was put out and, you know, he pretty much said, you know, this is how you do it. But if you do it, you know, you're going to regret it. And the guy literally put some sort of coding that if they implemented the code into the game, it would literally brick their Wii. So it's like we were saying before, it's kind of at the player's discretion to, you know, if you know that it's there, do you use it? Do you not use it? It's just one of those things. So.
Yeah. Don't cheat. Otherwise, I'll hunt you down with Mel Gibson's big sword. I'm telling you,
you will go Braveheart on your ass.
I will. That's it. I'll Braveheart your ass.
He will slap you as hard as he does his girlfriend.
Oh, now don't be saying that. I don't do that. I would raise my girlfriend. Wouldn't touch her.
I thought we were saying Mel slapping his girlfriend.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
I thought I was learning about Fergie there a little bit.
No. See, now you're going to get me in trouble.
Scottish, not Irish. He's not angry.
This now. See if any of my friends listen to this, and I'm telling you. You get me in trouble.
I will come and Braveheart your ass. We'll have different news next week.
See, like we promised in the first podcast some Scottish loving. Here it is.
That's it. Just for you, Adam.
Oh, you know how I like it.
Anyways,
moving on. Let's jump to our last topic here. For anybody who is completely endowed into video game news and like to keep up on what's going on in the industry and the world, you would more than likely are aware of the ban that is trying to happen in California, where they're trying to ban violent video games. This, of course, is being called as unconstitutional, among other things. But the reason I'm mentioning this is Isaac, he did a story earlier this week about a charity. It's called the Benefit for Evil fundraising event, and it basically takes the idea of playing, I would say, a marathon of Resident Evil games for, what is it, 3 days?
Yeah, 3 days of just marathoning Resident Evil.
And all the money that gets raised, and we all know Resident Evil is a very, 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 very violent video game. Blood and zombies everywhere.
It's rated M for mature. That's how violent.
I just thought that happened every day. That's what it's like in Scotland.
What? There's zombies and blood and everything's
M. Yeah. Why do you think the English ran away?
That sounds like a great place. I want to move over there. I've always wanted to kill a zombie. Resident Evil is unfortunately as close as I can get currently.
But so they raise this money and they put it towards sick kids and children hospitals, so that way they can be able to have a good Christmas and have a good holiday and get all the things that their families may not be able to afford. Now, this is kind of turning the table on the violent video game. It's being used for good rather than evil, even though it's a benefit for evil, and the benefit is good. See where I'm going here? I know, I'm just kind of rambling on, but...
circles. Yeah.
Well, I mean, are there, like, Isaac, was there anybody opposed to, you know, to the marathon of this, gory, violent game?
I can't see how anyone would ever say that they're opposed to raising money for sick children.
Yeah,
but, like,
I would hope not.
I think the comparison Adam's trying to make is California wants to ban violent video games. However, this is clearly a violent video game, but it's being used in such a way that it's raising money. And I mean, in this case, like Child's Play Charity, I think is what it is raising money for. They raise a lot of money for sick children and donate like
1.7 million.
Yeah, last year.
Over 1.7.
That's loads.
And then they use that money for books, video games and toys for children all over the world.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so yeah, they're doing that Resident Evil one. They also do an annual Mario marathon where it's for the same charity, the Child's Play charity, and they're providing toys, games, and stuff. And they grows 82,000 this year. But yeah, I mean, it's for, like, they're video games like Mario, Resident Evil. I mean, it's for the kids.
I think the other side of this also is that, like, you're kind of, and this is something that these kids are going to see. You know, they're seeing that they're all this money is being raised by playing video games, so then it's making the games look good rather than this some sort of opposing evil that the governor is trying to say exists.
But you know what? I mean, if it is a charity for kids, maybe they shouldn't be playing an M-rated game, you know?
But,
Maybe they shouldn't be. Why not just do the Mario or, you know, maybe like a teen-rated title? But why does it have to be M-rated?
I think
because they're killing bad things. They're trying to rid the world of evil.
I think the reason that they chose Resident Evil and the M-rated game thing, like as you said, they also do it with Mario, which of course is not M-rated. That'd be horrible. I think we talked about a little bit of that within our first episode of our old podcast, but we're not going to get into that. The reason that I think they choose this is it's a whole different, like, group of people that would be paying much more attention to this. Like, Mario obviously has its followers, like, adults can like it too. This, I think, can draw in a lot more of the hardcore gaming groups of people and teenagers and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, as you just said, it grows 1.7 million. Like, the Mario one only grows 82,000. So, yeah, I mean, maybe you have a point where Resident Evil is more appealing to people with bigger wallets, maybe?
I gotta correct you there. It's Child's Play. The charity Child's Play raised over 1.7 million. This is a benefit that is raising money for Child's Play.
Oh, okay. Do you know how much the marathon did end up grossing? Or?
It hasn't taken place yet.
Okay.
It is taking place later this month.
Let's
keep an eye on that, man.
Well, and I think the other reason they kind of went with Resident Evil is because it's October, so maybe they wanted more of a Halloween theme.
Mm-hmm.
I looked up the date for the event real quick. It's October 15th through the 17th. That the webcast will be live on the Benefit Evil website.
Yeah.
And you can get that information on dpadnews.com. I'll also put a link in the sidebar. Go ahead, Ferg.
Back to the whole point of I think why you're, as you put, call him Governator. I quite like that. It's quite a cool wee name for him. But,
Wait. Do you know who the governor of California is?
Yes, of course you do.
I'm just making sure.
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger, my friend. The Terminator. You know? But yeah, like, I can understand why he wants to ban it. Like, we just made the point itself there, you know, that Resident Evil attracts more hardcore gamers than Mario does. You know, so it attracts a certain clientele, if you want to put it that way. You know, and maybe that's what they're concerned about, is the type of people who are playing, you know, and the idea. But then, you know, like, if you ban that, do you then start banning games that make you laugh? You know, where do you draw the line? You know, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to play a game if it makes you laugh. You know, it's just, you know, not good. You know, if it makes you laugh too much, you know, you can't tell people you can't play something, because then you're starting to get into the realms of, well, okay, this is no longer free country. You can't play this, you can't do that, we're going to censor this, we're going to censor that, you know. And you know I understand why they're thinking about it, because there's a very small minority who go a bit nuts, you know, but the majority of people who play that game know it's a computer game, you know.
The thing is that you can't blame the video game industry for making people little bastards. It's rated M for a reason. It's like going to buy a rated R movie. You can't buy a rated R movie unless you have ID. You can't buy a rated M movie unless you have ID. Obviously, not if you look over the age of, I think, 18, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it really comes down to, to go back to my point earlier, is you know, it comes down to the parents. If you are, you know, if you explain that this is just a game, firstly, if you don't think your child should be handling something like that, if they are frightened easily, or, you know, you don't think that they could distinguish what is and what isn't real, they shouldn't be playing a game like Resident Evil, or they shouldn't be playing a game that is very violent. It comes down to that. And obviously, we live in a world where there's a lot of parents who are very, very young themselves. And maybe they are not even, obviously, I don't want to say that all of them are not suited to be parents, but, you know, they may not necessarily be able to raise them properly because they themselves are still children.
I mean, the games are rated M for mature for a reason. They are made for mature audiences. And I think they're marketed as so. You don't see a Resident Evil television ad during the Saturday morning cartoons. You see them, even Halo, you don't see it Saturday mornings. You see them advertised, you know, in the evening. And when the grown-ups, when the mature people are watching television, and the, you know, the kids, the less mature ones, are in bed sleeping where they should be.
I totally agree. I think, and it annoys me because I've been in stores, you know, where I've been buying my game, you know, or whatever, and there's a kid who honestly doesn't look older than 12, you know, with their parents buying a game that, like, you know, a game that I wouldn't want to play because it's so gory. I'm not into my gory games, you know, and I'm like, are you being serious? You're buying a game for a kid, you know, where they can basically chainsaw someone in half or beat someone across the face with a baseball bat, and salt, you know, you're toast. Thinking this is okay, you know, and I'm like, that, you know, and it's so annoying when the media turn around and go, oh my goodness, you know, kids should be playing this game, this is the developer's fault, and it's, you know, it's same with the cheating thing, we all turn around, oh, this is the developer's fault, you know, hold on a second, these guys just make the game, it's rated by an independent, you know, group of people, you know, it's not rated by the developer. They say this is what we reckon it will be suitable for, but then guys outside will go, no, we think we need to put this mature or 12 or, you know, so it's not the developer's fault. They make the games. It's down to the parents and how they just, like, totally ignore the advice that people are given there. And yeah, let's blame the parents, not the developers.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody have a final thought on that?
I do. Well, I mean, just going back to the whole Governator thing, what would he do about, like, a Terminator game that was rated M? Would that have to go? I mean, obviously, a Terminator game, that could be very violent and would...
No, that would be rated 3+, because he's in it, you know? It would be able for everybody.
Yeah, no, I mean, I believe there have been a couple Terminator games, and I got to... I believe that at least one of them was rated mature. And I mean, that's the ultimate irony, is here's this guy who's made his millions, his notoriety from starring in these brutal R-rated action films that are ridiculously violent. And for him to go around and accuse a different media of being too violent is just, it's just hypocrisy. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Totally. Jingo All the Way was pretty rough.
Well, that movie is just fantastic.
Any movie that has Sinbad in it, it's going to be rough.
Doesn't he give beer to a reindeer in that movie?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Arnie punches the reindeer in the head.
He does. He punches
He kind of pulls an old Conan move where you used to punch the camel in the head. Only in this movie, it's the reindeer. Yeah, and then he feeds it. And then he gives it some beer.
Shares a beer with it. That's Christmas family fun classic right there, folks.
All right. Well, before we wrap this up, we got a few things just to go over really quick. We had our first exclusive interview with Illphonic. And you can see that up on the website now. The game is Nexius, and it is an arena first-person shooter game, and it takes kill streaks and kind of gives it a new kind of turn on it, trying to bring in the audience that is clearly there from the Call of Duty and Halo fans. And it will take kill streaks and literally allow you to change gameplay rather than call in an airstrike or try to call the dogs in. So you can change the game to have low gravity, and you can change the game to have rapid fire. Maybe you can make everybody green. I don't know. But not all the things have been released as of yet, but everything about that is on the website. It's really cool. You should check it out. We'll have more on the game when it is released. Which has not been announced as of yet, but when that is announced, we will definitely have that for you. And just before we go, we're going to do a quick name three games that you're most looking forward to. Isaac, we'll start with you.
Well, the first one is Costume Quest RPG, available on Xbox Live and the PSN store.
Is that the Double Fine game by Tim Schafer?
Yes. Yeah, I believe it is. The one where you're basically a kid trick-or-treating, and it's Halloween.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yeah, it's that one. Do you want us to say a little bit about the games, or just sort of list them
off? Just keep it very thin.
All right. I guess moving on, the second game I'm looking forward to is, of course, Call of Duty Black Ops. Big into shooters. It looks great. I like the whole customizing and money system it's got. And actually, surprisingly, the third game I'm looking forward to is Lego Universe, the new MMO coming out.
Yes.
It just, if you haven't seen the trailers for it, please just check them out. Like, you wouldn't think it would look as good
on
as
the
it
website.
Does, but I would definitely say that's a game that all MMO fans, and even like, I'm not a big MMO guy, but I think it looks great. Everyone should check it out.
All right, Fergie, you're next.
Yeah, okay, well, it has to be for me. I'm a big MMO fan, and so it's the biggest of them all, Cataclysm. Got to be World of Warcraft Cataclysm, 7th of December. That is the day where things are all changing in Azeroth, and yeah, two new races, all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm really quite excited because I've read a couple of the books, a bit of the lore, and if the books are anything to go by, you know, Deathwing's some badass dude, and I can't wait to go and try and kick his ass. Second one I was looking forward to, and the big emphasis on was DC Universe Online, and I am so gutted that it's been delayed now until 2011. And like, just no idea in 2011 either. It was like supposed to be due out, I think it was next month, they said initially.
I believe it was supposed to be released this month or early November, if anything.
Well, it's like, that's a big delay on any game, and that's disappointing because it looks cool. And like, if you've been on our website at all, you'll see all the screenshots and the trailers and stuff that we've got going up all the time because they're releasing new screenshots every week. And it just again looks great. Another MMO to look forward to, because obviously everyone wants to be a superhero, duh. And then final would be next year, Gears of War 3. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I played the second one and was left in complete awe. And at the end of the game, I was like, "Wow, that'll be it. You know, there's no more." It was a good way of ending it. And then bang. We're doing Gears of War 3. I was like, yes. So yeah, that's another one to look forward to for me. But bring on the MMOs.
All right, and Andrew.
Three games for the I'll just keep it in the window of this fall. The ones that I'm looking forward to, funnily enough, two of them are Wii games, which is kind of rare for me. But the first one is Donkey Kong Returns. I am a huge fan of the Donkey Kong Country series on the Super Nintendo. Love those games. And the fact that this one is being developed by Retro Studios, the guys behind Metroid Prime, and that it has co-op. You know, the old Donkey Kong games, you could play co-op, but you'd have to tag in your partner to play. This is kind of like New Super Mario Bros., where you're playing at the same time. And again, same couch multiplayer. I can't wait to play through that with a friend. The second Wii game is Epic Mickey. I don't know. I just think that this game's going to be really special. You got Warren Spector behind it. And I've actually kind of been avoiding any coverage and screenshots and stuff on it, because I just kind of want to experience it just right then and there. You know, nothing ruined or teased for me. I can't wait to just pop that in. I think that's going to be... it's going to be a unique experience. And then third, I'm cheating a little bit. It's kind of a tie between Call of Duty Black Ops and EA's Medal of Honor. They're two very similar games. And again, I'm not big with the multiplayer. I haven't been for some time, but I'm excited for both of their single player games. I think Treyarch has something to prove. You know, now that Infinity Ward's gone, I think they really need, you know, they have pressure applied to them, and I think that they're going to do a good job at delivering a good single-player experience. And of course, EA, if they want to compete with Activision in this genre, in this space of first-person shooters, I think they're going to be not pulling any punches as well. So I think both of those will be very, very good, solid single-player experiences, as well as multiplayer, I'm sure.
All right, and I'll just wrap it up here. My three, I got Super Scribblenauts, a fifth cell game. It was really, the first one was really well, being able to complete puzzles and anything you can create with your imagination, any word. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of words that you can use and objects that you can create. And with the addition to adjectives in Super Scribblenauts, it's going to be astounding. One of the trailers I saw had Cthulhu, if anybody's familiar with Cthulhu, as a cow-like, and is cuddly. Obviously, Cthulhu is not really like that. So there was a Cthulhu kind of with cow spots, and there was a milkmaid who actually milked Cthulhu and then rode it into the sunset. So there's just, I think the addition to adjectives is going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be a good game to play. Epic Mickey, Warren Spector is on the back end of that, and I got to agree, running the site, and there hasn't been a lot of information that's been really released about the game. Both the cinematic trailers have been really well, and I was kind of upset to hear that they took out the whole Mickey will become a little if he's completing things with paint thinner rather than trying to create. I was a little skeptical on that, and I have a lot of high hopes for Epic Mickey, and I hope it's going to be a good title for the Wii. And lastly, I'm hopping on the first person shooter train, and I'm going to ride Black Ops. It's going to be astounding. Hopefully, Treyarch, they've done a lot of good work with the Call of Duty games in the past. World at War was really well done, and their work that they've done with the Modern Warfare series was also really well. And I'm also going to kind of cheat a little bit and split that with GoldenEye. I'm loving the fact that I can relive the golden days. And I can't wait to play that. So, yeah, I think those are our top picks, I'd say, for at least the next little while. Once again, before I let you guys go, go over to your Facebook. We know you're on there right now. Search D-Pad News, like us, because we would love for you to love us like we love you. And also do the same on your Twitter accounts. Go on there and just type in D-Pad News, and we will come up. Aside from that, for all the stories that we talked about, you will be able to find them on our website, dpadnews.com. I'll put a link in the sidebar, and everything else that we talked about will also be in the sidebar. Make sure to check out the exclusive interview we had with Ilphonic, and I think that's everything. So, episode 2, or 4, depending on how you want to look at it, is done. So, I'm Adam, and everybody say goodbye.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Ciao.
See ya.
Bye.